You're listening to Mr. Travis Shaw, outstanding bass player, joined by several other great musicians. Travis Shaw, featured artist. All right, so we've taken a look at sexualization and just a cursory look, I guess you could say, so that we can then lead into sexual objectification. What is that about? And of course, hearing that phrase, sexual objectification, and you're probably thinking about a shortened form of that phrase, sex object. All right, so this is how the people at objectification theory define sexual objectification. It occurs whenever a woman's body, body parts, or sexual functions are separated out from her person, reduced to the status of mere instruments, or regarded as if they were capable of representing her. In other words, when objectified, women are treated as bodies, and in particular, and as bodies that exist for the use and pleasure of others. Certainly not all men sexually objectify women. Indeed, many elect not to and are likely to have richer relationships with women as a consequence. But importantly, because a sexually objectifying gaze is not under women's control, few women can completely avoid potentially objectifying contexts. Now, one of the questions I want to ask you about that definition of sexual objectification. Because a sexually objectifying gaze, a gaze that makes a sexual object of a woman, because a sexually objectifying gaze is not under women's control, she is there, and someone is really, really eyeing her. I mean, really looking. Really, really, really looking. And their assertion is that gaze that makes her a sex object is not under women's control. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? Do you say sometimes that gaze is under a woman's control because a woman can determine how she dresses? A woman can determine how she moves her body and what messages she sends based on how she moves her body? Or would you say, they're absolutely right, a gaze that makes a sex object of a woman is something that is totally out of women's control? Now that would beg the question, do women have any control? Or do women sometimes wear clothes that are sexually provocative and that are intended to be sexually provocative? Maybe a top shows a lot of cleavage and it really hugs her breasts. Maybe she's wearing pants or even a skirt that fits tight, so that the curves in her body are really, really put on display. Does she have any control over what she puts on her body? There are certain ways that women can move that can send out signals that are sexually related. Does a woman have any control on how she moves her body and how she presents herself? Again, now, I just want us to from the very beginning, look at this very openly, very honestly. Now, if the answer is women do have control over how they dress and how they move their bodies, women do have some control over whether or not they will provoke a gaze, initiate a gaze that makes them a sex object. A woman has decided, a female has decided that she wants to wear very, very short shorts that are also tight fitting. And along with that, wear a top that is also very, very close fitting to her breasts. And maybe has her, it's springtime, it's summertime, she has much of her midriff, much of her abs, her tummy exposed. Now, a lot of you women know women. Do you suppose there is a reason that that female would have dressed like that? Do you suppose that she dressed that way for the purpose of making it very clear that she does not want to be seen as a sex object? Now, let me tell you something. I'm not criticizing anyone who dresses the way they dress. I'm not interested in criticizing people for the way they dress, whether male or female. Like the men, the males who steal some of them, wear their pants down, halfway down the hips, third of the way down the hip. What is, do you suppose that there is a statement that they're saying, that they're making with regards to how they want to be viewed? So again, now, I started with the female simply because I know that that, as I said earlier, is where most of the complaints come in. Girls being sexualized and objectified. And I agree with them that not all men sexually objectify women. Do some women sexually objectify themselves and other women? Certain clothes that are designed to not be tightly form-fitting, but they're sheer so that you can see through them. And they wrap and close together with the belt, and maybe as the woman walks, step, 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 you can see part of her inner thighs because it's not closed. The outfit that she's wearing isn't closed well enough to conceal all of her inner thighs. I'm not criticizing. I'm not interested in criticizing. I'm simply asking us to ask, to explore the question, what can be done to reduce sexual misconduct in America? And if we decide that we're only going to see one gender as contributing to the problem, we're not going to answer that question. We're not going to get nearly as close as we need to get. If we assume that all members of one gender are perpetrators on some level, even if they're not raping, even if they're not setting people up to be raped, is the assumption that all men objectify with a sexually objectifying gaze. Then we need to ask ourselves the question, okay, well, do women gaze at people for the purpose of sexually objectifying them? In other words, again, It occurs, they said, whenever a woman's body or body parts or sexual functions are separated out from her person or regarded as if they were capable of representing her. In other words, when objectified, women are treated as bodies that exist for the use and pleasure of others. Is that ever the case for males? Are males objectified? Do women gaze at the man's chest, his hips, his thighs, his genitalia? Or is looking at a person for the purpose of getting some level of sexual gratification truly unique to males? What's the truth about that? Again now, sexual misconduct. So much starts with the way we're thinking, with the way we're looking with our eyes. And sometimes what we're looking at there, what we're considering is desire, the person desiring to see. And some people take it further because they don't want to settle for just seeing. What can we do to reduce sexual misconduct in America? We're going to take our time with this. This is a problem that's been with us for a long, 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 long time. Sexual misconduct has been with humanity almost since there has been humanity. And when I say almost since humanity, I mean the very first two were Adam and Eve, and we don't read about any sexual misconduct there. Now, my guess is it wasn't much longer. Sexual misconduct, it's been with us almost as long as we have been here as humans. You think about what we read about as far as the character of some of the men and the women who came here from Europe to settle here and call this nation America. Sexual misconduct has been around a long time, so let's not feel like we've got to rush through our exploration and discussion of this question of what can be done to reduce sexual misconduct in America. I'll be right back.